I don't know if I can handle losing the fucking World Series. Like, I barely can handle losing the ALCS. Like, getting to the World Series and losing, that'd be hard. Like, I've
only How about been if you're the Dodgers right now?
Huh?
How about if you're the Dodgers right now?
I mean, it's off of nothing. That season that they had and, you know, all that payroll and all that stuff is it's tough, man. That sucks.
That sucks, right? Yeah. Did you watch the World Series?
I wasn't going to, but then I watched, like, the first part of game one, and it helped me get over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, losing. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. It's weird. Normally, I won't watch. You know what I'm saying? And I just, you know, I don't know. I was feeling so bad the last couple of days before the World Series started. I was like, man, fuck it, I'm not going to watch. And I was just, you know, I was thinking about it, like, we should be in L.A. doing this and blah, blah, blah. And then I started watching, and it just made me, you know, start thinking about next year and, you know, what we could do and stuff like that. So it kind of made me turn the page a little bit by watching, which is weird. I don't know why. What's up, everybody? We back after the playoffs with this season recap, R2C2.
Yeah, man, it's good to see you.
I know, it's been a while, right?
It's been a while. It's been too long, man. I've missed you.
I've seen you doing games and shit, so that's, you know, that's the only time I get a chance to really see you now.
I know, and now you can answer my text messages again.
Season's over, I'm back.
That's it.
I'm back to normal life.
And I'm glad we get a chance to dive into everything from what was an incredible and eventful season.
For sure.
I feel like... CeCe, we need to start this episode of R2C2 with me doing something on behalf of all Yankees fans that I've been asked to do by everybody, and that's I got to give you a big hug for your postseason.
What's up, man? It feels like we ain't done this in a while, man.
I know, man. I know.
Crazy.
Did you feel the love from Yankee fans throughout the postseason?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we all felt the love. I think that's why the reason why we were, whatever we went, undefeated at home, 6-0, I think it was, at home. It was incredible. Like, just the fan support and, like, the stadium and just seeing how excited people were again, like, about our team was a lot of fun to see.
You know... I grew up a Yankee fan, right? So I was at the stadium for a lot of those postseasons in the late 90s, and I would go to amazing games, whether it was Game 5 of the 0-1 World Series or, you know, World Series 98 Game 1, you know, amazing moments at the stadium. And this postseason, to me, the new stadium felt like the old stadium.
Oh, yeah, even more so than 09.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, this was like I think it was just a different crowd. It was more, I feel like a younger crowd. You know, you got the younger stars with Aaron Judge and Didi and, you know,
Sanchez
and Sanchi and, you know, Severino. All these guys are young, so it brings a different crowd to the stadium. So I think it was just a younger crowd. And I think it was a more exciting time for the fan base because it wasn't, I mean, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but it wasn't the same old guys. It wasn't, you know, Jeet and Sato and those guys. It was a new group of guys. Nobody ever seen Aaron Judge hit a homer in the playoffs.
Right.
Or, you know, Severino pitch or, you know, even Massa pitch deep in the playoffs. Like, so it was exciting for people to see these guys get a chance, the opportunity to perform on a bigger stage.
Right. Like, I feel like, you know, people are always connected to homegrown guys, no doubt. And you know. And they're connected to, you know, people who they've seen since they were young and they've tracked and followed. So it did feel like, you know, the success that those guys had, the fan base relished.
Everybody feels it.
Yeah, exactly.
These guys and you hear the organization tell you about these guys and how great this guy's going to be. And we've traded for this guy and drafted this guy. So you get excited when you see the guy start to finally perform. You know, I think even just throughout the season, just to watch what Aaron Judge did and, you know, watch Sanchi hit 33 homers, Didi come back and hit 20 homers again, back-to-back seasons. Like, you know, I think it was just exciting just all around to watch what these young guys did this year. It was amazing.
Give us some insight into Judge the guy, because what amazed me was he was awful in the ALDS, right? And he was sensational in the ALCS. Like, he was able to pick himself up off the mat and come through – huge. And I shouldn't even say awful in the ALDS because he had a couple big hits, a couple big moments. But, like, he was striking out almost every at-bat, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, somehow, this guy is so strong mentally that he's a rookie. He didn't let it break him. He came back in the ALCS. And I think if you guys win, either you or him is going to be the MVP of the series.
Yeah, and I think if we win the ALCS, I think he goes off in the World Series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, he's always the same.
You know, didn't see him getting flustered at all?
That's hard to do. I mean, obviously, everybody gets pissed off. Yeah. You know what I mean? And one thing that I think that we did as a group of guys really well is, like, picked him up.
Yeah.
You know, talk to him, like, don't worry, you got two more. You know, next AB, this and that. Just keep it going. Like, I felt like as a team, I watched a lot of guys keep him going, you know, especially throughout the playoffs in those tough times. Even in August when he had that bad stretch. Yeah. Guys were very encouraging. And that's not normally – you know, that's not always the case. You know, sometimes, you know, this is just a close team and you know, we bonded really well and we got tight really, you know, really quick. And I think that's what kind of put us to where we were. Yeah. And I think that, you know, watching what, like I said, watching how these guys handled when Judge struggled, more so even watching him, how he struggled, was a great thing.
It just looked like a fun group, man.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was, man, we had a good time, man. It was crazy because when you get to that point in the season, you're just chasing the feeling. You know what I mean? Like, you feel good. Everybody's excited. The city's excited. You know, you're traveling with everybody. Your family's coming in. You know, you got everybody traveling in the organization. It's just a good time to, you know, in the playoffs to be around. So it was just a lot of fun to chase that feeling this year.
You know, I've always had a problem with the idea that the only success is a championship. Like, of course, that's the way you want to look at things. I get that. But I've always had a problem with that doctrine because...
You're a wrong fan base. You're in the wrong fan base,
I know,
bro.
Man, but
I'm fucking devastated we didn't win.
And I'm glad that you are, and I think the fans are going to be thrilled to hear that. But, like, when you get away, aren't you going to be able to look back on this season and be like, you know what, that was a really good year. Yeah, we didn't accomplish our ultimate goal.
Not immediately, no. Not in the next, no.
No.
I mean, maybe 5 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't win, like, if this group of guys don't win a championship. Like, I look back on that 07 team at the Indians and like, damn, that was a good-ass team. We had a good year. We had some fun guys and all that shit. But I can only look back at it now.
Yeah.
10 years later. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That one stung
for a long time. This one hurt, especially losing Game 7. 2007, we lost in Game 7, too, with the Indians. But just losing Game 7 the way we lost and just the momentum, I just felt like it didn't feel like the season was ending. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were just still in full swing, and it, you know, we kind of fell short there. So it was tough. This was a tough one.
I went to Game 5 as a fan, which I hadn't been to a playoff game as a fan since I was in college, I think. And it was so much fun. I was with my dad and friends, and they're huge Yankee fans.
Game 5 was the Keiko game, right?
Yeah.
Or the Game 5 in New York.
Yeah, in New York, the Keiko game with Tanaka. And what was amazing to me, too, is these were 5 o'clock starts, and the crowds were amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an easy time. But I walked out of there, and I'm usually like a very cautious fan and observer, and I was like, there is no way that the New York Yankees are not winning this series. Like,
right?
Like, it felt like you guys had...
Yeah, we did.
You had all the momentum, and I didn't watch the Astros and think, oh, the Astros are... Well, they're a better team.
This is the thing. They didn't really... I mean, they beat us the first couple games, but we were in every game.
Yes, yes.
We could have easily won every game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what makes it even harder when you don't feel like the best team won. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you hate to say that as the loser because that sucks, but like, fuck it, I don't care. Like, I still don't feel like the best team won. I don't
like. When you say it with a laugh, it's easier to digest for the audience.
It just is what it is, man. Yeah. Like, we had opportunities to score off Verlander, like, I mean, you know, it was just a tough thing, man.
The key with the Verlander thing was in game six, the 3-1 pitch to Hicks, which is in the other batter's box.
See, well, I can't see that from the dugout. When I went upstairs, you know what I mean?
Do you see it afterwards?
Yeah, that changes the momentum.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll get to the home plate umpire in a second. But it
could have been the same thing in game six in the World Series where Chris Taylor gets the base hit.
Yeah.
And it kind of blows it open. You know, like.
Right.
Verlander's outstanding. Always been one of the best pitchers of this generation.
Yeah.
But he always gives you opportunities to win the game.
Right.
He's always, you know, he's going to walk a couple guys. You know, guys, we're going to put a couple hits together. You just got to get that big hit off of him.
Right.
And we didn't do that.
Right.
You know? And I think the Dodgers did that in game six.
Right. Because think about it. When you guys, in that sixth inning, the 3-1 to Hicks should be ball four, would have been base loaded, nobody out, fine, whatever. He almost hits a home run.
Mm-hmm.
His ball was just
foul. I felt like in Houston,
Frazier,
we almost hit a lot of fucking homers in Houston.
Yeah, man, yes.
Like in Houston,
yes.
We hit a lot of balls that were like right to the warning track or
Frazier,
you know, a
perfected
lot of balls
that
hard.
This postseason,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he did.
He hit so many balls like to the warning track, to the that one starting game six, though, is like the killer.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know what the heck Sanchez was doing on the 3-0 check swing. That was the other, man. What is he doing,
you
man?
Know, he's just young, I love him, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get to that spot next year in the ALCS, he won't do no shit like that.
I know,
you
got
to go through that, you know, to be better for it, you know, in the years to come. So
probably trying to do a little too much.
Yeah, it's just tough when you get into that spot, and it's the ALCS, and you got these, and it's young guys. You know, Zanji's 23, 24 years old, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And we got lucky enough where we rode that all the way to Game 7 of the ALCS, you know?
One thing that the cameras caught that I thought was pretty cool in slow-mo from your Game 7 start is when you were taken out in the fourth inning, you saying to the guys, "My bad, fellas." Now, I thought, you know, the thing you did in that game, I'm not just saying this as a friend, that was great is, like, you clearly didn't have your best stuff, mm-hmm. right? But you gritted and you grinded and you held it down so that you guys were still in the game. It was like, all right, I'm going to give everything I can for these 10 outs or whatever it was and make sure we're still in the game, right? You made one mistake to Gattis, but you limited damage. But it was interesting to me because you could tell just from you mouthing that, like, you felt bad or responsible, or what were you thinking at that moment?
Yeah, you want to leave that type of game with a lead. Like in Cleveland in game five, you know, I even still felt bad in that game in game five because I gave up a couple runs, you know, that could have like cost us that game in the fifth inning. But I mean, you want to leave the game with a chance to win and feel good about it. You know what I'm saying? And I left that game, we were down 1-0 and it was game seven, you know, so I just felt like I didn't do my job. You know, and you know, keeping the team in the spot where we could win the game, I guess.
When you are on the mound in that game, do you know, like, did you know this is going to be a grind? Could you tell it was going to be a grind for you?
What, in
game seven?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, right from the start, I you know, you just have that feeling, you know. So, at that point, you're just trying to get outs. You know, you're just doing whatever you can to get outs you know, stand there long enough and let these guys swing the bats. You know what I'm saying?
See, here's the thing. Like, it feels like, because if you look at your playoff numbers are outstanding here with the Yankees. I mean, they're incredible. And this postseason, dude, you were so good, man. I mean, every start.
Thanks.
What have you learned to keep yourself, like, in the moment and in the game and keeping limiting the damage? And what have you learned
in the playoffs
so that you, because it seemed like you were great at, even with men on, right, making a big pitch in a big spot.
I think it's just being out there. Like, for me, this postseason, more than any other, like, I like to feel like I'm pretty calm and loose, but this one just was like normal starts for me.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was crazy. Like, it was just normal. Like, I felt very normal out there a lot of the postseason, which is weird. You know, that's a weird thing. And I think maybe it was just me being so old. You know, me being, like, the 17 years I pitched in the playoffs a lot, pitching a lot of big games, and I just wasn't – I mean, I just wasn't going to let the moment be too big or be rattled by pitching the playoffs. Like, fuck it. I've done this. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot. So I just went out and just did the same thing I did all year.
Did you hear the CC chants during your home playoff start?
Nah.
See.
I can't, it's just all like white noise. It's just noise to me. Like, I can't, you know, differentiate what was people were saying. Like, it's just all like, wah, you know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what stadium you're in, it's just noise.
In game three of the ALCS, when you threw six shutout innings, it's during the sixth inning, they were doing a CC.
Oh, really?
CC. Yeah, CC chat. You know what's funny? If you look at my Instagram page right now, I look like a CC stalker, man. Like, because I felt like this, first of all, we got to go. So I felt like this compulsion from superstition, friendship, and podcast co-host to, like, anytime you're making a start, I'm like, well, like, I don't know. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm attached to CC in some ways. I need to post something, you know? Like, and I'm like, I'm going through, like, how many pictures do I have of me and CC? And then, but I wasn't posting that much during that time. So if you look back at my, like, last eight pictures, four of them are, like, me and you. Yeah, exactly. Which I also do, like, I'm superstitious, right? Like, so... Like, I think I texted you just, first of all, I don't like to, you don't give a shit what I have to say during the playoffs, nor should you. But I think before your first playoff start, I just like texted you, like, you know, good luck, have fun tomorrow or something, right? Like, and so then I felt like
you got to do that every time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then,
when people text me on the day that I pitch, I never respond until after.
Yeah.
No matter how I pitch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm weird like that with the text messages. I never respond to text on the day that I pitch until after I pitch.
You don't respond to text on other days, too,
I don't respond to text most of the days anyway, so it really don't fucking matter, but on that day, I really don't respond.
You know, it's funny. Going into game seven, I'm like, oh, shit, it's a big game. Game seven. But I have to send CeCe something. Like, I can't not say have fun now. Like,
I think this I texted you back on the morning of game seven, right?
You didn't text me back then. You texted me back the morning of game three.
Oh,
I think,
okay.
And you were like, thanks, cuz, or whatever you say. Okay. Yeah. But you know what I did? Instead of texting you game seven, I was like, texting feels too close. And in this moment, I sent you a DM on Instagram just saying, have fun tonight, bro.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, exactly. Because I was just like, I'm thinking, like, if for some reason I don't send something and CeCe might
then
be like,
feel fucked up.
And CeCe might be like, why? Was he nervous or something? Like, I don't know. Not that you're thinking about me, but this is in my head, man. This is like, yeah. So anyway, thanks for putting up with me.
It's crazy on those days when you pitch, man, especially in the playoffs. Like, you just want the game to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I was going to the stadium super early. A couple of times I thought we had in that Cleveland series, I thought we had 7 o'clock games and 8 o'clock games. I was showing up at the park at 1 o'clock. The day that I pitch, like, I like to be around the guys.
Yeah.
And during the playoffs, there's no media in the clubhouse. So it's fucking chaos. Like, it's fun. Like, we have a lot of fun in there when there's nobody watching. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, man.
You can literally, like, do whatever the fuck you want. So it's a lot of fun during the playoffs. You know, it's easier to keep it loose that way.
You know, since this is our season recap episode, and obviously much more R2-C2 to come, we shut it down so CeCe could rightfully focus during the playoffs.
That was a good decision, too. We went back and forth on that a lot.
Yeah, we
did. You know what I'm
saying?
But that was a good decision.
It was. You pitched great.
We almost won.
You almost won. Because the problem is, if we're recording during it, and we'll see what happens in future years, whatever, but like, and you...
No, it ain't gonna be too many more, bro.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, you want to come back, right?
Yeah, I do, for sure.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Do you guys start talking about that stuff yet?
Nah, not yet. I mean, I have a meeting with my agent and with Amber, my agent, and just kind of see how we want to play it out or whatever, and just go from there.
Got you.
See what happens.
Just make sure you come back, all right?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, good. I don't want to get too specific because I want you to get as much paper as you can, as the kids say. But, I you know, this, like, this doesn't work if you're in L.A., you know? I mean, like, we don't need to do what...
You do a lot of Laker games.
That's true,
now,
actually.
You know what I mean?
I do.
It's just going to be weird. It's going to be crazy, man. New coaching staff, new everything, you know? Like, I've never... not play for Joe here, you know, so that's going to be a new thing if I do get a chance to come back.
So what was that like for you?
What, playing for him?
Yeah, I mean, and just like the news the other day of him not being back, I mean.
I think the news the other day for everybody was kind of shocking just because of the way the season went, you know, and how we finished. But man, yeah, it was a great run here he had. You know, 10 years coaching the Yankees, I mean, we won a World Series. We got a lot of wins. You know, he coached a lot of Hall of Famers, I feel like. You know, some big moments. And I feel like he was, you know, me and Joe were always good because he was always concerned about my family. And that's the biggest thing for me. You know, he's always asking about Lil C and my wife and whoever, you know, just my whole family he was always concerned about. And I always, you know, always loved him for that. You know, it felt good that he, you know, took an interest in my family. So we always got along in that respect.
Did you see him get emotional talking about you after game seven in the press conference?
Amber showed me, yeah. That was, made me get a little emotional, you know what I'm saying? Like, after game seven, I didn't, you know, we sat around and, you know, Joe made a speech and everything. And I hadn't cried, you know, after a baseball game in a long time. And I seen Mike Harkey, you know, me and Hark is like, we like this. Like, that's, you know, I go to breakfast with him every day during the season and stuff like that. And he came up and gave me a hug and I immediately like broke down. I had to leave. Like, I had to get out of there.
Wow.
I had to go out and see my family. And like, as soon as I saw them, I started crying. Like, it was just like, it was bad. But that's how just attached you get to your coaches and these guys. And, you know, I played with Marcus Thames and, you know what I'm saying? Like, for him to be a coach and be around the last 2 years has been great. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, our guys are awesome. Tomper, you know, Tony Pena. So we just have to wait and see, you know, how it shakes out. Hopefully some of those guys come back. If not, you know, we get new guys and keep rolling.
Were a lot of you emotional in the clubhouse after game seven?
Yeah, it was a lot of guys emotional. It's a lot of young guys in there. For me, it was just one of those, like I said, I mean, chasing the feeling and I just know how hard it is to get to where the fuck we were. I know how hard it's going to be to get back there and how hard we got to work throughout the next summer to get to where we want to be. And I know, you know, how we were right there. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it's hard to get back to that spot. So that's what I was just, it was a little crushing for me, but we'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like you have the, everybody has the, what I think is the correct perspective that this team has a chance to go on a run for a while, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason why you can't win the World Series next year, year after that, for the next 8 years. Maybe you're a part of the first two or whatever it is, but there's no reason why. But when you're there.
Yeah, when you're right
when
there.
When you're there, it's like,
you don't worry about.
Yeah, you want to take advantage.
Even, and even
yeah.
going back next year is going to be hard. I mean, this is a great team.
Right.
And we can say all that shit. Look at the Cubs.
Right.
They were set up to win for the next 8 years, everybody said, right?
Right.
The motherfuckers barely made the playoffs this year. Right. Probably shouldn't have. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And probably shouldn't have won against the Nationals. They probably should have lost that series.
I thought the Nationals were better, yeah.
It's hard, man, when you come back as a team with a target on your back.
Yeah.
Especially as young guys, and our young guys carried us, man. Like, these guys had historical, like, Judge did something that nobody's ever done before in the history of baseball. Like, that's going to be hard to come back and do again. You know what I'm saying? Like, Sanchez hitting 33 homer. You know, like,
missing a month, too. Yeah.
It's that's hard to do. It's hard to come back and duplicate what you did the last year. But I think we have the guys in there to do it. Guys are going to work hard. And I think that getting that taste.
Yeah.
You know, getting there and getting close. Even just like the Astros, 15.
Yeah.
You know, they lost to KC in the ALCS. I don't think they made the playoffs at 16
nope.
and then came back, you know, and won the World Series. So
right.
it's just, you know, you got to go through those growing pains.
Right. Sometimes those losses can actually fuel the fire to
for sure.
have the success.
Yeah.
Then,
one
right?
It's going to fuel it for me for the next couple of years for sure.
Yeah. I mean, even like listening to Paul O'Neill and David Cone talk about it after game 7, they said, look, if we don't have the loss we had in 95 to the Mariners, mm-hmm. which was like this crushing blow because they were up 2-0 in the series. Playoff baseball back in New York for the first time since 1981. But like, and then they 97, they mm-hmm. lost, to the Indians. Yeah. Up 2-1. Mo blows a save in game 4. Then they lose a dramatic game 5.
Those guys though, like, I don't know if I can handle losing the fucking World Series. Like, I barely can handle losing the ALCS. Like, getting to the World Series and losing, that'd be hard. Like, I've only
How about if you're the Dodgers right now?
Huh?
How about if you're the Dodgers
I mean, it's off of nothing. That season that they had and, you know, all that payroll and all that stuff it's tough, man. That sucks.
That sucks, right? Yeah. Did you watch the World Series?
I wasn't going to, but then I watched, like, the first part of game 1, and it helped me get over.
Oh, yeah?
Like, losing. You know what I'm saying?
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. It's weird. Normally, I won't watch. You know what I'm saying? And I just, you know, I don't know. I was feeling so bad the last couple of days before the World Series started. I was like, man, fuck it, I'm not going to watch. And I was just, you know, I was thinking about it, like, we should be in L.A. doing this and blah, blah, blah. And then I started watching. It just made me, you know, start thinking about next year and, you know, what we could do and stuff like that. So it kind of made me turn the page a little bit by watching, which is weird. I don't know why.
When you look at what the Astros offense did in the World Series, it's even more amazing what your guys' pitching staff did to them. I mean, you held them to, like, what was it, like a 147 team batting average or something throughout the ALCS. They scored, what, two runs in their first two wins. They had 4 hits or fewer in each of the 3 games at Yankee Stadium. They scored a little bit in game 6 and 7, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, not that it doesn't, it's not really a consolation prize, I get it, but like
no,
it's crazy
great,
what you guys
team,
did.
A great offense.
Yeah,
you know
what
you
like, did as a staff was crazy, man.
Yeah, and I think it was, you know, for us, I mean, our starters were, you know, probably the weak point on the team, if you look at it. You know, our bullpen obviously is the best.
Yeah.
Our offense, defense is great. You know, our starters are not – wasn't where, you know, everybody expected them to be. But, you know, we held our own in the playoffs, I felt like.
I think you guys pitched great in the playoffs. And, you know, just to bring it back to you.
Even like let's talk about going through the growing pains, like with the young guy, Severino.
Yeah, right.
Pitching and, you know, not even getting out the first inning in Minnesota and then coming back and – just, you know, like,
and he was great in game 4 against Cleveland.
Game 4, like, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he pitched good in against Houston too.
Yes, he did.
So that's immediate. Like, normally you don't turn around that fast, you know what I'm saying? But
did you talk to him after that start in the wild card game?
Yeah, we talked a little bit, just, you know, talked about, you know, being too amped up and you know, Seve, man, Seve's tough. Seve's a kid though that he's got a lot of ability and talent. Obviously, you know, he's going to win a Cy Young at some point, but it's hard to, like, talk to him about stuff. Like, he has to go through it. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell him shit until I'm blue in the face, but until he goes out there and, like, goes through a little adversity or, you know, things like that, then is when he learns more so than, like, me telling him, if that makes sense.
Is that every guy? No.
Like, me and Monty can have a conversation, and he can pick it up, like, you know
Jordan
what I mean?
Montgomery, another rookie pitcher,
Yeah, I mean, me and Monty have conversations, you know, like how me and Andy had. You know, it just, it works like that, but...
Sevy's the kind of guy who just needs to go through it.
He's got to go through it himself.
Yeah, he's, you know, an experienced learner.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I believe you, but maybe not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
does that annoy you?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. I mean, it's a lot of guys like that. I mean, and I think the better you are, the better you are ability-wise, like, and obviously the more you're going to be that way. And I think you should be that way a little more, you know what I mean, when you're that good.
You like this leadership role?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, it is what it is. No different than I've always been. You know what I'm saying? I'm just older now. So people expect it. You know what I'm saying? But it's always been the same for me.
You know, it's crazy, though. Like, you think about it. You signed this deal in 2009. It's now 2017. Nine years, right? You haven't had to think, right? It's 9 years?
9 years, yeah.
9 years you haven't had to think about, like, okay, what's next year going to be? I mean, you had the opt-out year, but you guys tidied that up pretty quickly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was harder than it looked. But, you know, you didn't – I think you got it done right before actual free agency or whatever.
Yeah, it was good.
But, like, the – you've had this – you know, you've been a staple in this one particular clubhouse for a long time. It's got to be a little weird, even though I think everybody expects you back and you want to be back. And I want you back.
You never know, though.
Right, you never know. So does it feel weird?
No, I don't worry about it. Okay. Like, If my run is up here, like Joe, like I had a great time.
Yeah.
Played here for 9 years, like with some of the best players on the planet. Won a World Series, like greatest fans ever. Like I was a Yankee, you know, I could say that. So, no, I'm good with it. Like, it's weird, man. I'm good with baseball, however it shakes out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so good with it. Like, if, you know, whatever, if I'm done next year, if I'm done the year after, if I'm done 2 years, like, it is what it is. Like I'm just like, this is all borrowed time for me. Like, it's just extra. You know what I mean? Like,
I get it.
I'm just having fun, man.
But you remember during the year we were talking about how you were like, man, I'm just like aching to get back to that feeling of being in the playoffs and pitching on the mound at Yankee Stadium in October. And that did pitching in those moments re-spark the fire at all to make you know, like, ooh, like I need to experience this again.
Oh, yeah. But that's another reason why it hurt so bad. You know what I'm saying? Because you haven't had that feeling in a long time.
Yeah.
And you get it, and we're rolling, and then, you know, it doesn't happen. So, no, I mean, yeah, it sparked it for sure. Like, and I think it just, like, it made me calm, too, I feel like. You know? Same type of, I don't know, it's weird. It was weird, man. Like, this playoffs was just a very calming, even in Cleveland, pitching those games in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a familiar park for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, I'm home almost. You know what I mean?
Man.
Like, I mean, I said those comments, you know, before, I think, what game did I pitch? I pitched game two.
And game five, yeah.
Yeah, I pitched game two. And I, you know, Cleveland, like, as an adult, that kind of shaped who I am as a man. Like, I spent a lot of time there from the time I was 17 until the time I was 28 years old. You know what I mean? Three of my kids were born in Cleveland, like... You know,
yeah,
so
man.
It was just a comfortable deal for me to be able to go back there and pitch it.
Kind of like coming full circle. You know, the way you pitched in the playoffs, too, man, like you could tell, Yankee fans have felt attached to you from the beginning. You were obviously one of the two or three key parts of the 09 championship, and now you're the elder statesman here. But it's like there was this feeling, and don't worry, I won't embarrass you too much because we'll get off you individually, but like there was this feeling I felt like throughout the playoffs, like every time you pitched, where it was like Yankee fans, like, yeah, that's our guy. Like, that's our guy. And I was wondering if you could feel that energy and connection from them, because I sensed it. And I'm certainly sensitive to it because of our relationship.
Yeah.
But like, it was amazing seeing the way, and I was proud of you and I felt good for you, because seeing the way that Yankees fans were responding to you was really cool to me, because they were like, it was just like, yeah, man, that's our CeCe's that dude right there. Like the way that you kept coming through after losses and when the team needed you, and just, you know, leaving your heart and soul on the mound.
Yeah.
Did you feel that from them?
Nah, it's weird but it's going to be weird to say, but I always feel that from them.
That's
great.
You know,
I feel like that's the reason why you go out and pitch and try to perform so well as a Yankee. You know what I mean? You always feel attached to the fans.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they keep you humble. They make you work hard. You know, it's never enough. You know what I'm saying? So you have to keep going out and getting better and performing. And And yeah, I mean, but I always feel like even when they boo me, I feel like if I have two good games, I'm gonna be right back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I always feel that connection to the fans, and I feel like that. I feel like that's what keeps you going.
What was your favorite moment from this season?
Man, I think Didi hitting a homer in the bottom of the first of the
wild card game.
Second fight, the fight. That shit was awesome. But him hitting that homer in the bottom of the first of that wild card game, like just putting us right back. Like, I mean, we went into that game super confident, right? Everybody felt like we were gonna win that game. It was in Yankee Stadium. You know, obviously we felt like we were the better team, but it's one game.
Right.
Anything can happen, man. I'm sitting in the dugout with Sonny, and we're sitting there. We're feeling good. You know, it's the first inning. We're about to roll through the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, and Dozier hits the home run. I'm like, oh, shit. And then the other guy comes up. Who was it?
Who hit the home run to right field?
Man. The guy had a good year, too.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, he hit the homer.
Yep.
And I immediately go from thinking, like, damn, we about to roll this playoffs to, like, I ain't paid my clubhouse dues. I got to pack up my locker and shit. Like, I'm a free agent. I got all these shoes and shit down here I got to get. Like, I started panicking immediately and then ran down to the bullpen. But we watched the rest of the game for the bullpen. But, like, seeing him get us back in it, like, that was amazing, man.
That's the thing. You guys had these, like, classic Yankee Stadium playoff moments.
Didi had some classic – man, I hate to say this because I hate to compare people, but he had some classic Derek Jeter moments.
He did, didn't he?
Man, he had some big homers and some big hits and, like – played fucking great defense.
He was amazing at short.
Like he had a great postseason and like in some big spots, like some big hits for us. Like that was fun to see.
I love when he hit that home run in the wild card game and the little like bat flip.
Yeah,
and the
he
crowd.
Never does anything,
like,
you know what I'm saying?
Man, exactly.
Yeah, that was good.
And the crowd just like where you see the arms flying up. It's like new
I felt
ball
like
game.
People were jumping on top of each other and shit.
It looked like the stadium was just rocking at that moment.
I was so mad because I was in the bullpen at that time. I was like pissed that I couldn't be in the dugout for that. You know,
to
like,
celebrate it.
Yeah.
I'm
king
that.
Celebration in the playoffs, bro. I'm jumping over the rail and shit. Like it's Little League. I love it. Like. People can't get mad at you for your like raw emotions to reaction to the game. You know what I'm saying? A game in July, if somebody gets a hit down the line, you jump over the rail, you look crazy.
Yeah.
But like in a game where, you know, shit really matters, you know, that's fun. Like in that game, what was it? Game 4, when we came back 4-0, we jumping around in the dugout and shit. That's great, man.
I love you and Frazier running along the dugout to greet whoever had scored. Judge and Didi had scored, I think, on Sanchez. That was a classic, like,
that's fun,
playoff
man.
Moment, too, man. Or, like, you know, you yelling at Reddick walking off the mound. Like, you know, those are key playoff. It's funny, too, because I saw somebody ask you about it. I think maybe it was Ken Davidoff. He asked you about it after, like, hey, what was that? It looked like you were yelling something, and you just laughed. You're like, oh, that's just me, man.
Yeah,
like,
it's me being me. And then even I got a text after Carlos. It was like, I'm glad to see you back, bro. Like
Beltran?
Yeah.
That's funny. It was one of his teammates. Yeah, man. Like, you get any – because I remember, I always thought, like, I was like, what does CeCe have against Jackie Bradley Jr.? Because I've seen you yell at him.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, man. It's just like, I do this to everybody.
I don't have nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just when we in between the lines, I don't give a fuck who it is. I yelled at Prince a couple of times. Like,
did you? Field is your boy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's my homie. Yeah. Like, we like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm trying to win.
Yeah.
And whatever I got to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. When walking off, I'm going to say, you know, whatever. It is what it is. People backflip you, hit homers, walk down the first baseline. Don't get mad if I cuss you out, if I get you out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it makes you know, it fun, man.
You know what's crazy, though? Like, I used to do that shit when I was younger. I was throwing 98, but now I'm throwing like backdoor sliders, like cussing people out and shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little lame now, but you know, whatever.
No, man.
It just is what it is. Like, I can't stop it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just me.
No, you know why it still works? Because it's like, see, I'm not even throwing in the high 90s anymore. I still got your ass out. That's
smoking
what you're doing.
Mirrors,
yeah, exactly. That's what you say. All right. So, you know, we asked a bunch of people to send in questions on iTunes via like leaving a review. Because, you know, so many people have questions for you, CeCe, from, and maybe one or two of them questions
this
for me.
This from Twitter?
Yeah, no, this is so we asked.
From Instagram?
They put them up on iTunes.
Okay.
They left reviews.
Okay.
We have so many great questions from our listeners, so I wanted to throw a couple of them. Nick Santarello said, huge fan of the show and the guests you guys have brought on. Would love to have it continue through the off season if you guys can make it work. By the way, we should address that. We're continuing.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
It'd probably be easier in the off season.
I feel like maybe not for you.
I'm home.
Yeah, you know exactly. I'll be chilling. So.
You should come on like an NBA trip with me at some point.
Right.
Come on, man. Like go to a, like if I'm out west for a game
and
or something.
Ain't having that shit because if I'm leaving the house, it's got to be on official business.
R2C2 official business. All right. Nick's question is for both of us. He says, where is our favorite city to visit on the road and why? Food, ballpark itself, places to see, things to do, whatever it is. Thanks.
What you
guys.
Got? What's yours?
I love Seattle, man.
Yeah.
Seattle's my favorite. Yeah.
You know, we always go at a good time, too.
That's
we always
thing.
Go in July.
Yeah,
when
in
the
summer, it's
great.
Spectacular.
I've never seen it rain in Seattle. You know what I'm saying? It's right. always fantastic when we go.
It's a rumor, bro. Like, that's it, man. Like, I'm always like, people like, oh, Seattle, the weather, it's depressing. I'm like no.
He's like, it's great.
It's like 73 and crisp and sunny.
You
like,
get up and walk in the morning and shit. Like, it's perfect.
It's
like,
lovely. Is that your favorite?
No, I love Kansas City.
Oh.
Kansas City's my favorite. I love that ballpark.
Only dude I've ever heard
that. I love that ballpark. I love the food there, man. Like, the restaurants around that place, like the soul food, the barbecue, like the history. They got the Negro League Museum there. I really love going there.
All right, that's a good question. Thank you, Nick. Okay, this one is from Matt in AQ. I don't know what that means, but he says, during the Houston and Cleveland series, CeCe, who or how did the locker room bounce back from those devastating losses? I'm curious as to if anyone spoke up or what they said.
Nah, we never had any team meetings. Like, this wasn't that type of team. We didn't need to get motivated. Like, we knew what we were trying to do. Like, we knew the mission. We knew we could turn the page, like, no matter what, the next day, like, the guys, like, the way we could bounce back, like, and just not care. You know what I mean? Like, go home down 2-0 both times and not really, like, nobody
you weren't
pressed.
Worried. You weren't, no.
I wasn't pressed at all, and nobody was. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. We got this long series. Like, we got a chance to get back in this series. We going home, and I felt like both times nobody ever panicked. You know what I mean? Like, not on our side.
All right. This question comes from Smahoho. I don't know. I don't know what the real name is, but that's their name on this. CeCe and Ryan are great together. Well, I love Sma.
Oh, yeah. He's the man.
Yeah, we love you, Sma. It's so nice to see another side and personalities of former and current Yankees players officially campaigning for CeCe to join the Yes booth in a few years.
Oh, okay, no how about, chance.
Okay.
That's a zero chance.
That's a zero chance? All right.
I can't wear a suit, bro.
Oh, yeah,
if
that's
they let
right.
me come in the booth with this shit on, I'm down.
Me and you should do a game together at
if
some
they
point,
they let me
though.
Do it like this. Okay. I would never put on a fucking suit to call a baseball game. It's stupid to me that you guys have to wear suits at the fucking baseball park. That's the dumbest shit ever to me. You gotta explain that to me, by the way. Like, why do you get dressed up for what?
I don't know, man. Like, it's just like a presentable TV thing. But I would
it's
love.
It's not.
I
though, love. Like, it is what it is. Like,
what about a polo? Would you do the game nice, in a polo?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
As long as it's not one of them corny Yes polos and we got like matching polos, no chance. I'm
so
not
you
doing
gotta
that.
Wear your own.
I gotta wear
like,
my own shit.
Like, I don't know what. Like, what do you? Your
we're not
own Louis Vuitton.
We're
polo?
Not gonna be matching on air, bro.
Okay, you don't want to match with me
no,
on air.
Never.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Schmahoho's question, now that he's gotten a lot more than he asked for, his question is, who is your favorite character from Entourage?
Oh, man. I love Turtle.
Yeah, me too.
I love Turtle. Turtle always held it down.
Me too. And by the way, I think we're going to have Jerry Ferrara on the podcast
yeah,
soon.
Said that last
yeah,
cool.
yeah. He's
a great guy, man.
Great guy. Big
he's a
big sports fan.
Big sports fan. Period.
He knows his sports. So looking forward to that. So good answer with Turtle. Getting in good graces before we have him. All right. HLN1012 asks, well, first of all, let's read the self-serving stuff. This podcast is everything I hoped it would be. A mix of everything from sports, entertainment, pop culture, etc. I don't know why that voice, but he says, my question for the season recap podcast is the following. At CeCe, apparently he thinks that's your handle. When did you and your teammates truly feel this team had a real shot to go far and win it all?
Man, when we made the trade during the summer, when we got we were already playing good. You know, we got off to a good start. We stumbled there a little bit in the middle, started playing good again, and they made the trade. We got Frazier, we got D-Rod back, and then we got Tommy Kahnle. So Frazier comes in, never been in the organization or nothing. He comes in day one. He's been here 9 years already. Like, he's one of our
guys. It's amazing. The thumbs down thing was incredible, too, man.
Yeah, like, he came in, fit in right away. D-Rob came in. I mean, it was like he never left. You know what I mean? He came right back. Tommy, too, the same thing. He was a young player when he left. He was a young player when he left.
Oh, yeah, he was with the organization,
right? And then he came back. So everybody knew him. And then, you know, we get Sonny, great guy. And I just felt like, you know, we felt that the organization was making moves, especially after what they did to us last year. Not what they did to us, what we did to ourselves. And then, you know, getting everybody traded off. And then to have it come, you know, this year where we're
acquiring
picking up guys.
Pieces.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge for us. So I think at that point we felt like we had a chance.
Sammy Bammy 129 has a question. This podcast is fire. R2C2 takes being a fan to the next level. Their guest list has already been full of big hitters, and Ryan and CeCe's chemistry with their guests hits it out of the park every time. Fat Joe has been my favorite so far. I'm really reading all these guys.
You're reading all this shit.
I'm not skipping to the questions, all right? Also, I've never had any interest in Star Wars, but R2C2 has convinced me I should give it a shot.
You should give it a shot.
Yes, no doubt. By the way, we should go to Last Jedi it. Together,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be fun.
We got to bring Carter, though. Carter's a huge
Star
Wars fan.
Oh, hell yeah, let's do it. But you're famous enough. They should probably be able to get us into a premiere and we could do a podcast
something,
from there.
Right?
Come on. Carl, like Sadie, come on. We got ideas here.
Yeah, that's the move right there.
Sadie Zillow and Carl Scott are the czars of the podcast. They can make that happen.
They can make that happen for
all
sure.
All right. He says, looking forward to seeing this podcast grow, hoping for some more bonus episodes during the offseason. It's not going to be bonus episodes. It's going to be real
episodes. It's going to be episodes.
All right. And then we'd love to hear more about what players do during the offseason. Family life, organizations they work with, travel. So your off season, CeCe.
Man, my off season for me is just straight turning into dad. You know, it's basketball practice for Karsten. Dance practice for the girls. Carter does flag football. You know, he plays chess, and you know he does a lot of things like that. So, you know, it's just me just kind of infusing back into that life at the beginning, driving everybody around, taking them to school. You know, getting them up for school, giving Amber a break kind of in that way. My mom's here to help, so that's always huge when she's around. So that helps the off season. But just doing that, start working out maybe a couple weeks after the season ends. And then it's just, you know, a couple trips, travel, nothing. I mean,
yeah, will you go on vacation a little bit? Or
yeah, different guys do different things. And in certain off seasons, we travel more than you know, others. But
yeah,
this one, we got some good trips coming up. We got DR coming up for Thanksgiving. And then for Christmas, we're going to South Africa for 17
Ooh,
days, so that should be fun. So
that's
we're excited.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
By the way, I have this group text with a bunch of Yankee fans, and we had it all postseason, and they had so many questions for you, and I was like, I'll throw you one off them, and I can't find the group text on my phone. So to Craig and Frankie, dude, I don't know where it went. I'm looking on my phone because I said I'll ask CeCe a question for you guys. I'm looking it up. It's not popping up. It's so weird.
That's why you got to name your group chats, bro.
No, it's named. Like, dude, look at this. It's called Deep Daddy's Yankees. Like, because
you don't have to tell us that, though.
No. Because my boy, it's my boy Deep. And so, like, his nickname is that. But, like, bro, I can't. It's like the texts are gone from everything after game five. So, anyway, I have no idea. But I know, you know, one of the things they wanted to ask was just, like, what do you think you guys need to do? I don't know if it was Craig or Frankie or Simon or Deep. Now they've all gotten a shout out. what do you guys need to do to take that next step and finish the job next year?
I think we need to work hard, extremely hard this offseason. It's going to be hard, man. I think to do what we did last year, just because people are chasing us. You know what I mean? We're not surprising anybody. It's not a rebuilding year and all that shit.
Right.
Like, we're a legitimate good team that should probably win the East. So I think we just gotta go out and take it one game at a time again, like we did this year, and just play for each other like we did, and just keep going. I don't really see many moves. Not from my perspective. I mean, I don't get paid to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, I think that this team is good.
What key traits will the next manager have to have?
I don't know. Somebody that's good, that's a good communicator with the players,
yeah.
I think is a big thing. Where somebody that you can talk to about anything at any time. I think that's the biggest thing, is just communication, especially with these young guys, and just somebody that the guys can really, really talk to and trust.
You mentioned before something that I think is Yankees fans are going to love, that that loss hurt you. You know, I don't want to bring up painful things, CeCe, but, like, you know, fans like that. They want to know how much you care. So just give us an idea, like those couple days after Game 7, what did you do or what was it like for you?
Man, I didn't do shit. I was just chilling. See, I didn't even text you back.
No, like, you didn't. No, you didn't. And I was like, I don't know. Is he going to be upset? Like, I think we should do a season recap. But like, I know you. I also know you don't get offended easily. So I feel like my worst case scenario is him being like, I'm not answering this now. I don't think you do that.
We were also on a Saturday. We came home Sunday. I watched football all day that day, and just kind of chilled the rest of the week. Like, you know, I kind of slept in, you know, just kind of getting out of the baseball mode and routine and shit. And it's amazing how, like, bad your body feels after you don't have to do anything. Like, I felt great. You know, after I had my little scare in Toronto, I felt fantastic. Sunday morning, I wake up and, like, I can barely walk. Like, my knees barking, my shoulders hurt. I'm like, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I would have to keep pitching, how am I do it? But it's just weird when your brain shuts off and you know that the season's over, how your body feels. So, you know, I just laid around, hung up with the family. I had a lot of family in town because of the playoffs and stuff, so got a chance to see them. That's always fun, and just kind of kicked it, man, and got my brain right. You know what I'm saying? got ready to get back into off season. You know what helped too? Like hanging out with we went to basketball game. We went to the Nets game.
Yeah, you, Judge and Dellen.
Siegel and Matt Nimer went with us. Peckers took us, so that was always fun. Axel Bryan was with us. We had a good dinner at Carbone's. Like getting out, you know what I'm saying? Like that helped a lot.
Well, you ready to get back into R2C2 mode?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Thanks for indulging us with all this insider detail for the season recap.
For sure.
All right, man. Well, we're happy to be back. Plenty more to come. Stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
PlayersTribune.com.